Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
And welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. That means things like saving, investing, reducing the debt, or how about this, eliminating all of your debt, no matter how small, no matter how large that debt balance may be. To learn how we can help you, simply go to compasscatholic.org. And when you're on the website, click on Books and Studies and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me today, as usual, are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. You know, a few weeks ago, we did a show on the differences between being cheap versus being frugal, and we had a number of emails on the topic, and a number of those emails were asking basically the same question. What are some of the things that frugal people never do, John?
Yeah, we're going to talk about things that people who are smart with money do to avoid spending money so that it can earn interest for another day. Another way of saying it is that we want to talk about things that you can do that will increase your savings instead of spending your savings.
So, John, I think one of the first things that smart money people avoid is borrowing money.
You're absolutely correct. And, you know, if you think about the paradigms of our society, here's the big one. If you're going to buy something, anything, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to go into debt to pay for it.
And that is big things or little things, because people, essentially, when people use their credit card, they're going into debt if they don't pay it off at the end of the month.
Exactly right. You know, yeah, a lot of people, you know, a house, that's a ton of money. And, you know, you're probably going to have to go into debt for that because you don't have that much money saved up. But debt is seemingly just totally acceptable for buying a car, buying a flat screen TV, buying a new set of clothes. You know, all these things, these paradigms make debt seem as normal as brushing your teeth every day. You do that, right?
You know I do. But we really shouldn't be using debt as often as we brush our teeth, should we?
I don't think so.
So frugal people always pay cash for anything and everything they can pay cash for. So they pay cash for their cars, and they don't buy new cars. They buy high-quality used cars.
Right.
They pay cash for the new TV. So frugal people know that paying interest means throwing money away, and they avoid debt because that means having to pay interest.
So how do they do it? How do they pay cash for so many things? In my vernacular, it's called escrow accounts, or in today's vernacular, I've learned recently, they call it sinking funds.
Well, escrow sounds good. Sinking funds sounds kind of bad. It sounds like your money's going down a drain or something. But what do you mean by escrow accounts?
Well, they're both designed to save money for future purchases. And that's emphasis is future purchases. You know, chances are if you already own a house, you have an escrow account. The mortgage companies require you to have an escrow account to pay for the property taxes and the property insurance.
So that's because taxes and insurance on the mortgage only come around every so often. And so they put a little bit aside every month in order to save for that when it's due.
That's it. Exactly.
So how does that translate to other things like buying a TV or buying a car?
Well, if you know that you're going to have a future purchase, okay? You put aside a little bit of money every month. And then when you have the amount saved that you want to save, so you start out with an objective in mind. The car I'm going to buy is going to cost me $18,000. Or the TV set I'm going to buy is going to cost me $1,000. Or I'm going to go on vacation, and I know the cost for the vacation is going to be $2,000. So I figure out when I'm going to do it.
And how much time you have to save.
And divide that by 12, you know, the months between now and then.
And then you save that amount every month.
Exactly.
Now, you started doing this years and years ago on our stuff. Like for once a year or once a quarter.
Yes, absolutely, expenses. Absolutely. It's I do it for every expense that doesn't happen on a monthly basis. If I have to pay something every quarter, like my homeowner's fees, that goes into the escrow. I take the amount that I have to pay every 3 months, divide it by three, and that's what I save every month.
And that's worked out really well for us.
Yeah, because when the bill comes due, I've got the money saved in the savings account.
Is this what you do for your vacations, your
yes.
Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
Christmas yes. is a great example because people may not be able to take a vacation every year, but Christmas comes around every year. Mm-hmm. And no matter how frugal you are, there's still an increased cost on Christmas. But so many people get hit with Christmas bills and they're not paid off until October of the next year. So there's no time to save up for the next Christmas. So just this never-ending cycle of debt for Christmas.
Now, how many people, frugal individuals or fiscally conservative individuals, think before they make a purchase? Do I need it? Not that I want it, but do I need it? I mean, where does that play in all of this?
I think that's SOP, standard operating procedure.
I was going to say that 100%. If you're frugal, you're going to think about it before you buy it.
Yeah, I mean, Audrey and I do that constantly. In fact, we were talking about that today at lunch. That for our anniversary, there was a very nice restaurant we wanted to go to. But then when you look at the menu and you see the price and you're thinking, do we really need that?
I could buy a heck of a steak at home for that.
I could buy a number of steaks at home for that.
You give me the money and I'll have you over for dinner.
But I mean, it does make us really stop and think, do we really need that?
Yeah.
Because there are very nice restaurants here in Orlando for half that price that we enjoy and we did go and had a good time.
Yeah.
Now, we're not saying that you shouldn't treat yourself every once in a while.
No, but not to that point where you're paying $60 for a steak.
For one meal.
Per person, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. Plus, if it's usually in restaurants like that, everything else is a la carte.
It was, yeah.
If you want a potato, it's going to cost you $15.
Yeah.
More. Yeah.
Did you want butter on your potato? That's another $20.
I offered to go in the kitchen and cook it, but...
Some reason they don't like when you do that. No. They don't like when you wash dishes either. So, John, explain how a sinking fund or an escrow account is different than an emergency fund.
Oh, that's a great question, Evelyn. You know, an emergency fund is money that you're saving up for, and here's the key word, unexpected expenses. So an emergency fund is to cover emergencies, and you normally don't plan for emergencies other than to save money so that you have a way to cover the costs of that. So an escrow account or a sinking fund is the money that you're saving up for planned expenses in the future.
Because we know Christmas is going to come every year.
It hasn't failed us yet.
And we know sooner or later that car is going to need to be replaced.
I guarantee it.
And we know if we have kids, sooner or later there's going to be college tuition.
We have kids?
We had kids.
Oh, okay.
He now has kids. And we know vacation time comes around every year.
I'm sure that people are saying, well, okay, I kind of get the idea between escrow and emergency fund or sinking fund and emergency fund. That makes sense to me. But
where do we put it? Is it under the mattress?
Yeah, that's it exactly. And I think the key thing here is that, first of all, you don't keep it in a checking account.
Because it's too likely to squeeze over into those other areas. Where you could just spend it on $60 steaks.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you could put it in a savings account, just the normal savings account you have at the bank. That's what we do. Or you could get the bank to open up or go to the bank and open up a second savings account. Most banks will allow you to have more than one account. And you put all of that escrow money in that second account, and then... if it's at the same bank, it's very easy to transfer into the checking account when the time comes along that you have to pay the bill for whatever that planned expense was.
And if you have a hard time saving specifically for an emergency fund, you can ask your employer to self-direct in direct deposit to separate accounts. You can allocate so much money into a saving or checking account and so much into an account that you label emergency. That way you're not tempted to, well, maybe this month I'm not going to put it in the emergency fund. Having it self-directed into that fund will help those who have a hard time saving.
And even if your employer won't do that, the bank will do it for you.
The bank will
do
it.
You just set it up on a specific date, you know, so you do it the day that you get paid and transfer that money into the escrow. That's what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the money comes in, automatically it goes out into that savings account.
Yeah, for those that have a hard time doing it themselves, have it someone do it for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one less thing to remember.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So, John, is that all the escrow money? Or well, what about if you need, like, you're going to replace your car in 5 years? Do you still put that in a savings account?
Well, I think it's a good question. You want to know what the time frame is before you're going to spend that money. So if the time frame is probably less than 3 years, you just want to put it in your savings account or in a money market account at the bank because you need it to be accessible. And if you put it other places, you're going to probably have some fees and things like that that will not make it as profitable as if you were putting it just in the savings account. So if it's 3 to 5 years, you could do a mutual fund high interest account, something like that. So what do I mean by that? Well, there are money accounts, money market type accounts that have high interest because they're in bonds or something like that. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. You're not going to go into a stock fund in 3 to 5 years, but anything that's cash based, that's liquid, but with a higher rate of return. And if it's between 5 and 10 years, you could actually put it in a conservative mutual fund just to increase the amount of interest. But you have to remember that the higher the rate of return that you receive when you invest the money, the greater the risk of your investment. That happens with any type of investment.
You know, another thing that you never see frugal people do is to shop for entertainment. They don't go window shopping just to have something to do. Because if you're shopping for entertainment, you're probably going to find something you want to buy that you really don't need.
You know, I remember someone telling me during a seminar that every time they went to a certain big box store, they would spend money. And my answer to that? Yes, Steve. I know you know the answer here.
Don't go to the big box store.
Don't go to the big box store. It's so simple. It's just, you know, it doesn't make sense that if that's what you're going to do, don't go there. Or if you do go there, don't take your money or your credit cards with you.
I know there are listeners thinking to themselves, wow, these folks are really cheap. No, we're frugal. We have no debt because we've gotten into the habit of having a budget or a spending plan, and we really do think about those big purchases. And we put money aside each and every month for things like vacations or future home improvements, future car purchases. And once you start this habit, it becomes second nature. Start today. Start with one item, like Christmas. At the first of the year, start putting money away each and every month for Christmas gifts. This way, you'll pay cash for everything. You won't have to worry about a credit card debt. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. We'd love to show you how to become frugal yourselves. Check out our website, compasscatholic.org. Today, we are sharing some things that frugal people would never do. So, Evelyn, can you give us one more example of one of those things that you would never see a frugal person do?
They don't throw away anything that isn't trash. They're great recyclers, and typically, they're going to reuse either themselves or by donations 90% of what they have.
And you know what? It's really mystical because they can park both cars in the garage.
Yeah, that's something that doesn't happen real often, isn't it?
They have gotten rid of all their stuff, and so they can put their cars where they belong.
Which also saves them money in not having to rent a storage unit to put all their junk in.
I've never seen a frugal person who's also renting a storage unit. That's kind of like an oxymoron.
You know, it's amazing when you clean out your closets or your drawers or your kitchen cabinets and you look at all the stuff you have that you're simply not using and you wonder, what made you buy it in the first place? Something good to think about.
Have you ever done that, Steve?
Actually, often I see stuff and I said, why did I buy it and why do I still have it? Audrey and I have been going through the closets for the last couple of weeks and people around here have had garage sales. And I just donate it to them. They can sell it, do whatever they want with it.
Just to get rid of it.
Yeah, look. See no CDs over there?
I noticed that. The whole cabinet's empty.
Yeah, 600 of them gone.
Wow. No. So everybody in this neighborhood now has oldie music, right?
I told them, you can do whatever you want. Give them away.
You know, but that's a good thing to do, is to give stuff away that you're getting rid of. You know, there's St. Vincent de Paul Society or Goodwill or the Vietnam Vets or the Parish Flea Market. There's always good places to donate the stuff that you no longer need.
And there's a good chance when you do that, that your stuff is going to find a great home.
You know, the other thing you can do is sell it on eBay or Craigslist or Let It Go or something like that so that you can find a good home for it and you can build your sinking fund account or your escrow account with that money.
Absolutely. Or even your emergency fund if you don't have it fully funded yet.
There you go.
So, Evelyn, you know, another thing that frugal people don't do is they don't keep paying huge cable bills.
You know, it's amazing how that cable bill racks up every year. And as soon as you call them and complain about it, they take it back down again, but then it starts climbing again as soon as you change the price.
Exactly. You know, cable is ancient history. And if you've been reading any electronics magazines, there's a lot of different ways to reduce your spending. And cable seems like it's one of the very first things to go out the door.
Well, you know, how many cable channels do we really watch? Not many.
Maybe five.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's that many, to be honest.
No, I look at some friends of ours who a number of years ago had to make some major cuts, and cable was one of the first that they cut. And, like, after a while, he never missed it. And he said, I can't believe we had it.
Well, so it's a habit you get into.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just get used to doing the same thing over and over, and you just don't even think about it. So that's a great way to cut 80 to, let's say, $150 from your budget every month is to get rid of those 100 plus stations you don't ever watch.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's still alternatives that can give you most, if not all, of the normal stations you watch for a fee of $5 or $10 or maybe $15. So, I mean, you're not going to miss stuff, but what you are going to gain is money, cash in the pocket.
You know, the other thing that most people, a lot of people we know are getting rid of anymore is the landline telephone.
That's become a thing of the past. And, you know, I think a lot of people simply have a landline phone because the cable company bundles the telephone with the cable and the internet.
And they say it's cheaper that way, which really doesn't make any sense because you're buying more services.
And that is exactly the only reason we have a landline.
Yeah.
And we have called and asked, and basically we're paying like $3 a month for the phone.
Right.
Tell you
right.
Anything to keep your business.
I was doing some research. As of 2017, 45.9% of households, American households, still have landlines.
I'm surprised it's that high.
95% of Americans now own a cell phone. And of those 95%, 70%, 77% own a smartphone. So if they've got cell phones and they've got smartphones to boot, why do so many people still have a landline?
Because like Steve said, you save money on your cable bill that way if you're still watching cable.
Well, you know, one of the things I thought about was, well, they probably have a security system. And so I was doing some research on security systems, and I found that almost all the companies today will offer you a wireless security system. And the reason is not because everybody's got smartphones. The reason is that burglars have gotten smarter in there as they've progressed. And so the first thing they do when they go into a house or before they go into the house is they cut the telephone line.
Oh, because that was how the security system was wired.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Speaking of phones, another thing frugal people don't do is to upgrade their cell phone each year or each time a new phone comes out. They're not going to wait in that 10-block line.
It's the only chance I get to go camping every year, Evelyn.
You know, if you really want to upgrade your phone, save for it through the escrow account, because getting a new phone every year or every time a new one comes out is just not needed if your old one suffices.
Yeah, yeah. If you use the escrow or sinking fund, you can save up for it if you absolutely have to have it. But guess what? The new phone, you're not going to know that much difference in all of the gadgets, the new things that they've done to it.
Yeah.
Imperceptible.
So what's next on the list of things frugal people don't do, John?
Well, you know, frugal people don't skip the budgeting process.
So in other words, frugal people budget.
They budget, yep. And the first step to being frugal is to budget for every penny. Now, I know you've never heard me say that you need to keep track of every single penny. Not more than 3 or 4 times a week anyway. So this is something that frugal people do, and it's just so simple to do. You know, when we teach our Bible study class, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we are always amazed at how many people have no idea how much debt they have, how much interest they're paying, and how much money they're spending every month.
You know, I think it goes beyond frugal people. To me, it's smart people budget. I mean, I know you two have counseled how many dozens and dozens of individuals, and I know in our process we have them track their spending for 30 days. How many of those people have come back to you at the end of 30 days and say, I can't believe I was spending this much money?
Probably, all of them.
Yeah, probably all of them.
That's the same with Audrey and I. It's like things that they just throw out and never think about it.
Well, you know, the other thing that is a benefit from budgeting is that you're not going to get into new debt from mistakes that you made because you're not tracking about what you're spending. You know, we've worked with so many couples that have overdraft and NSF charges or bank courtesy fees or whatever you want to call it. And it just, they're making enough money. They've got enough money to cover their expenses, but the money's getting eaten up by all those fees that they're paying because they're not managing what's coming in and what's going out.
And that's such a key thing. Manage the money, how it goes in and goes out. Because if the money goes out the day before the money comes in, you're overdrawn, even if it's only for a day. And guess what? That's at least one $35 charge. It might be more than that, depending on how many checks that you've written and charges that have been made.
And I believe the software at these banks catch that so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And because we work with people that, like you said, Evelyn, the amount of overdraft charges they have is mind-boggling, and they say the same thing, but the money was coming in just hours later.
Yeah. Well, you know, the banks at one time, and I don't know if they're still doing it, and I haven't researched it, but they would take the largest check first and then do it sequentially till they got to the smallest one, and then they would do the deposits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know most of them will do the deposits first now, but they still start with
the largest
check.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a way, I mean, they get like $9 billion a year in service fees and stuff like that.
So another thing that frugal people don't do, Steve, this one's for you since you were talking about your $60 steak, is eat out more than once a week. You know, you said it before, Steve, you can cook for two people for way less than you will spend eating out on simply one meal. Mm-hmm. So those meals that are planned and leftovers that are used really help save money.
Well, you know, and leftovers, that's a key. How many times have we been with people who won't take food home? They won't take a doggy bag home. They just throw the food away, even if they cooked it at home. They won't put it in the refrigerator to eat for lunch the next day or for dinner the next day or whatever. It really amazes me that people won't eat leftovers.
And I know you two eat leftovers.
Yeah, I mean, John and I have talked about it. I feel there's more flavor in it the second day.
And it helps not waste things. I mean, we're supposed to be good stewards of all the things God's given us, and food is one of those things. So if you're just throwing food away, you're wasting it.
So another thing that frugal people don't do is pay bank fees. Now, we've talked about NSF charges and stuff like that, but they also fix it so that their checking account isn't costing them money, the savings account isn't costing them money. That's just, you know, normal things that smart people do.
I love this one that you have in the list. Try to live someone else's life.
You know, and that's a great point, Steve, because frugal people are satisfied and happy with where they are. They're not trying to keep up with what everybody else has or what everybody else is doing. You know, you can look at people on the outside and think they're in great shape financially because they've got the big house and the new clothes and the fancy car and jewelry and all this other stuff, but you don't see the debt that's behind that. So just thinking about trying to keep up with somebody else really doesn't mean that much.
No, I think the biggest one, notice when the housing boom just went south and how many bankruptcies, foreclosures going through neighborhoods. And a lot of that was people trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yep.
They have a big house. We need to have a big house.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So being frugal is a lot like being content and focusing on what you have instead of being in a constant state of wanting more and more.
In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says that he learned to be content in all circumstances. Learning how to be frugal will take you a long way down the road to also learning how to be content.
Contentment, such a powerful word, even more powerful when you put it into action. It all goes back to think about that next purchase. Do you need what you're about to purchase? Before we leave you today, let's answer one of the emails that we received. John and Evelyn, does the Bible say anything about when an individual should retire?
Well, the only reference in the Bible is in the book of Numbers. And it's talking about the Levites who worked in the tabernacle were supposed to retire at the age of 50. But in the rest of the Bible, there's really not one single reference to retiring.
So that means as we get older, we're not supposed to quit working. We're just supposed to change our focus of work and maybe move into some different type of work, like full-time volunteer efforts or helping out our families or something, so that we're still making good use of our time and talents.
Yeah, there was a popular book that was written, and I can't remember the author now, but it was entitled Don't Retire, Rewire. As much as many of us would like to go sit at the city gates with the elders and pontificate, I think if you work for the Lord, you would be much serve God much better.
If you would like some help from John and Evelyn solving a financial challenge that you're experiencing, send your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And a reminder, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on podcast there on the homepage, and you'll find not only the new show, but you'll also find the archive library of all of our podcasts. We want to thank you so much for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.